Well, back with the podcast after taking a week off for 4th of July holiday and had some topics wanted to touch on. Of course, Mayor, we'll touch on anything you'd like to as well. But I thought we'd just go ahead and start, the Kroger building situation and to kind of explain for anybody that doesn't know. There's been a couple of different times over the past year and a half now where it has come up to potentially zone that building to allow it for to be a storage building. And there were two individuals last year that were interested in moving forward with that project. It didn't happen. The owner of the property was interested in having that as an option. It didn't happen last night by the council. So I know you don't have a vote on this one, but it's one of those. I think both sides of the coin make some sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, last night it was brought back. You know, it failed, like you mentioned, you know, year and a half ago. The owner he was there last night, explained his side of it. Is like, look, you know, it's tough in the retail world right now. It's not getting a lot of interest. The interest he says he is getting, the self-storage is always being mentioned, right? And you're seeing that kind of across the country. You know, a lot of vacant buildings, they're turning them into these climate-controlled self-storage. So he felt that, you know, he has been working with some people who have interest, but because it's not been zoned that way, that, you know, that interest goes away pretty quickly. So it was his request, and he came and kind of made his case last night. It was voted down 4-2. And, you know, the aldermen who weren't in support of it, you know, feel very strongly that, you know, that's an ideal spot for retail and office. And, you know, and I think, again, their points are valid, right? I think in a perfect world, we would all, you know, be able to see that like it was 20 years ago. But the reality of it is it's been 20 years. And to your point, I didn't have a vote. I thought maybe I was for a second because I think there was a couple of the aldermen that were wavering. But again, in the spirit of transparency, I told one of the aldermen after the meeting last night, had it been a 3-3 vote, I was voting in favor of it, because I think my concern deep down is what happens now, right? Because we've got a building that, it, by everybody's accounts, has been 20 years of, I don't say neglect, but nothing's happened in 20 years. And that's the worst thing you can do with a vacant building. So, you know, what's the next step? Now, fortunately, the owner of the property did reach out to me this morning. We are going to be talking later this week, hopefully maybe coming up with some options, because again, my concern is how much longer can a building of that size in a very high profile part of town remain vacant before it becomes an issue.
I did one thing I thought you and I could discuss a little bit. He brought up traffic counts, and now to me, I would think that would be a pretty good traffic count area. 40 and 51 come into town, either come or go there. So I understand it wouldn't be the same as necessarily the interstate, but I would think it would be a decent traffic area.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you go just sit at that stoplight. You know, there's a lot of traffic there. Again, I don't know what sources he's using. Again, I pull a lot of our information from the Department of Transportation. You know, there is, you know, I think 26,000 trucks and cars that travel up and down Interstate 70 on a daily basis. A lot of traffic on Veterans and, you know, on Kennedy, there's a tremendous amount of traffic. So again, not sure where he's getting his data, but, you know, and one of the questions that the alderman asked last night are how are you marketing it? You know, and so there were some questions about that. And again, hopefully later this week when Mr. Bowman and I talk, he can share that kind of information with me. And, you know, again, it just goes back to, you know, as soon as we can get somebody in the economic development role, maybe we have somebody that's dedicated to working with, you know, developers, especially developers from outside the area, to help them understand our community better.
So talking about that with economic development, kind of segue into that. I know some movement going forward.
Yeah, interview processes have started. Actually, I had an interview yesterday. And, I don't really have anything to announce, but we're making nice progress, and I hope to be able to have an announcement, you know, in the very, very near future. So, I've said that from the very beginning when I started running, that was my number one priority. Able to kind of backfill it temporarily with Todd Toman, but, you know, that's not the long-term solution, and we're zoning in on that long-term solution.
You know, talking about Todd Toman, too, looking at his report, definitely doing a lot of retention work at this time.
Yeah, again, and this was some numbers we threw out during the campaign. It's 80 or 85% of your new job creation in a community comes from within. So it's not about, when we focus on economic development, it's not about landing a new Toyota plant or something that's going to employ 100 or 200 people. That's just not the reality in today's world. But, it's those singles and doubles. It's the 10 to 15, 20 positions that we're looking for. And a lot of times that's basically directly related to existing companies that you have. And, one of the things that I've been pleased with is, Todd, as he's went around to some of these companies, one of them said to him, "Well, man, we really appreciate you coming by. It's been a while." And again, not a knock. The position's been vacant, right? And again, we don't have the people in place, but that's what we need to do. We've got to start from within.
So I wanted to kind of move to a subject that's not so much fun. You guys talked about taxes, grocery tax last night. And just for everybody, January 1st, the 1% grocery tax goes away. The state will no longer have that in place. And you guys kind of discuss, should the city move forward with a 1% tax? I did look at that list, and there is an unbelievable number of cities that have already made that decision to do it. So it's something that you guys are going to discuss further going forward. But the bottom line is it's a lot of revenue if you lose it altogether.
Yeah, I mean, there's not an exact way to know the dollar amount, but Danny, our treasurer, has kind of crunched the numbers. And her best estimate is that if that goes away January 1st, it's in excess of $200,000. So what people need to realize is that's $200,000 of general fund money, general revenue money. So that's what pays for your police protection. That's what pays for your fire protection. So, we would have to fill a $200,000 gap in our budget in a community our size. And so, like you and I have talked off air, Todd, I mean, nobody likes taxes. So what I think is going to happen is we're going to bring it up at the next meeting. My guess is that the council is going to move forward with, basically reinstituting or maintaining that 1% that the state's not going to collect anymore. And, we have an October 1st deadline to make that decision. Because if we don't, and that tax goes away, then that $200,000 is going to come from somewhere else or some other type of tax, or we're going to have to fill that budget shortfall. And the nice thing about sales tax, when you have Walmart, when you have Aldi's, those are regional attractions. And, we talked about this as well. When you go into Walmart, you say you don't see people you know because there's just people from all over. So when you think about that $200,000, there's no exact way of knowing what that number is. But conservatively, you could probably say 30 to 40%, maybe even higher, is from people outside of the city. So when you've got people from outside of your community contributing a significant part of the revenue, I think it's really almost our obligation to keep doing that. Because again, if we have to fill that bucket's going to come from some other type of revenue, which is going to basically 100% be directly the responsibility of the people of the city of Vandalia.
It's an interesting tax that's going away. And I know not to get into politics very much, but it's interesting because I think when all is said and done, just about every community in this state is probably going to enact this.
Yeah. Yes. And not to get into the politics of it. It is basically... It was a gimmick. It was the state's way of saying, look, we're not going to collect this anymore, which, by the way, it's 100% your money. So, it's a way of saying, hey, we're giving you a tax increase. But they did give all the communities the ability to, establish the tax again without a referendum. So, the state can say, yeah, hey, we're cutting your taxes. And then now the city's like, again, we're not raising taxes. That's why people fully understand. This is a tax you're already paying that is, because of the state's action, scheduled to sunset beginning January 1st. Again, I think we'll talk about it more at the next meeting. My sense is we're almost forced to have to do it. And again, in my mind, we can justify it because, again, the sales tax, especially with the Walmarts and the Aldis and the regional approach, a lot of that money is being generated outside of the city.
So kind of change a little bit up. Wanted to talk a little bit about Summerfest. And since the last time we were on Summerfest, went on, seemed like everybody was happy with it, went off well, went off without a hitch. And now, and we talked about this too, trying to offer more opportunities for people to go to the lake and things. So now it's just getting ready for the next year, and I know you guys are already talking about that.
Yeah, so yeah, I want to congratulate Letitia. She did a lot of the planning, most of the planning, and to Scott Workman and his team out at the lake. I was out there on Saturday. Very well attended. The fireworks were wonderful, so I hope people got out to enjoy it. You know, the traffic is always an issue at the campground, but now we have that second entrance, so to speak, that we're using for events like this. So getting the traffic in and out of there, you know, seemed to be a lot better. But yeah, so now the planning begins for next year, because not only, you know, will we have Summerfest next year, but it will be in accordance with our 250th anniversary as a nation, or birthday as a country. So, you know, yeah, when you put an event on like that, the planning has to start very early. Our goal this year is to have a more of a committee approach, and not to put all of the heat and pressure on Letitia, give her some help. She does a great job. But and we've pleasantly surprised that we've already had some people volunteer to kind of step up and help with that. So I think it's an event that can grow, you know, and be bigger and even better. And again, was really, really pleased with the way it turned out this year. And thanks to everyone who came out and attended. And, you know, we'll even be looking at things like sponsorships and to make the event even bigger. So stay tuned, because I think some exciting things are coming.
I think, and I know there's always mix or match with this, but it seemed like the weekend before was a good spot to be. And especially because we've got other events around us. Farina does theirs usually on the 4th, Bond yeah. County 4th Fest. So it gives people kind of an opportunity to go to everything if they want to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, you know, because we did have some people say, well, why'd you move it up a week? And it's just for that reason. Because, yeah, you mentioned Bond County. They have their big 4th Fest. And, you know, my wife and I kind of drove through there the other night. And, again, very well attended, nice crowd. It's a really good event. They do a great job. And then, yeah, there's no sense in really competing with others if we can move it around. And as long as you let people know. And that's one of the comments that we did hear, I do hear kind of routinely, is we just maybe need to promote it a little bit more. And so I think we'll do that. Again, we're going to come up with a plan, a committee, and just, you know, that includes marketing and getting everything set up for next year. So, yeah, I think the week in advance – worked out well, and I'm assuming that's the plan for next year as well.
So you brought up comprehensive plan has been something you've talked about quite a bit, because you don't ever want the media to have a Monday off. We're going to meet coming up on Monday. On Monday to talk more about the comprehensive plan. So kind of getting right into it.
The comprehensive plan, as I've discussed in the past, you know, was done in 2019. You know, it's again, it's the guide. It's the document that's supposed to lead the city forward. Covers everything you think of in a small community, from, you know, economic development, tourism, to properties, to the lake. You know, you name it. It's all covered in that document. A lot of public input was included in that. There was a public comment section. And I've said this before, and I'm kind of repeating myself, but if you look at those comments from that conference and plan in 2019, it's the same comments you see on social media today. So I'd asked the alderman a few meetings ago, you know, if they'd be willing to just pull it back out, dust it off, and, you know, see what we've accomplished, you know, what is still to be accomplished, and maybe what no longer is a priority. And we thought the best would be just to devote a work session to do that. And so, yeah, unfortunately, so next Monday night for you, Todd, if you want to join, you know, for at 5 o'clock for 2 hours, we're gonna get out the plan and take a look at it. And, you know, and I don't think we'll probably get it all done in one night, but at least it's a start, because, again, it's a really nice document that covers almost everything you need from a city standpoint. So I think it's imperative on us to continue to review it, monitor and update it as needed.
So here we are a few months in. How are you feeling with things? You feel like things are progressing? I know the summer's kind of weird when it comes to those kind of things.
Yeah, you know, I've joked with people the first, you know, couple 6 weeks or so was kind of like drinking through a fire hose. But I'm really pleased. Again, and I sound like a broken record. We've got really good people in place. I'm really happy with the people and the roles at the city. I'm excited about the things that are going on. I mean, there's, you know, again, on economic development and the things Todd's been working on and Letitia's been involved as well. You know, there's a lot of positive things. There's just a positive vibe, at least in my opinion, with the city. And I'm really, really excited about that. Couldn't be more happy. you know, we've talked about the struggles sometimes with government, how it takes longer to do some things than it would maybe in the private sector. But overall, I mean, really, really pleased. And, you know, I think we're just at a good time in the city and things are going to even get better.
I guess kind of bring up a downer for a moment, but that is one thing you're going to have to do is find a new water treatment plant superintendent. So that's a tough position to fill.
Yeah. So Andy Gelsinger has announced he's leaving. He's taken another position. And so, you know, we wish him well. And he's made a career choice. It's not just anybody can come in and do that. And you have to have, you know, a certain certificate. You have to pass a certain test. It's not the easiest test to pass. And, you know, I wasn't here obviously then, but back this happened, you know, not too long ago, we had to rely on some outside sources for report filing and report keeping, because obviously it's water, you know, it's highly regulated. The search will begin. And, you know, even, you know, one of the aldermen said last night, you know, we may have to step up a little bit because, you know, not just anybody can do that. And so you have to make sure that we're offering attractive compensation benefit packages to people that, you know, have that extra certification that are qualified to do it. And again, they're just not on every street corner.
It's kind of an interesting tie-in, too, with the new water treatment plant coming, too. So, I mean, it's kind of, I would think that would be an attraction for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, again, our system out there was older. You know, Andy and his team were very comfortable with it and did a really nice job of running it. This new system is, you know, supposedly going to be much better. And, I would think would be very attractive to somebody who, you know, wants to look at the position. You know, again, that we're actually having pre-bid hearing or pre-construction hearings this month on that water treatment plant. Letitia and I got a meeting with the USDA on Thursday to kind of discuss the financing part of it. That's full steam ahead. There was still a little issue around the property that the plant's going on. That's been resolved. So we're now full steam ahead. And it's unfortunate. Again, we wish him well, and you know, people make career decisions. That's fine. But it's really an opportunity because I think it's going to be very attractive to a new person.
Anything else you'd like to touch on?
I'm really very, very happy with the way things are in the city right now. I mean, again, not everything's perfect, but there's just a positive feel. And, you know, in the summertime, especially, you know, you see the events downtown, you saw Summerfest. I just love driving by the old state capitol and seeing people just walking up there. I mean, it's, you know, we have a lot to offer here in this community. And, you know, I'm just going to try to do my part along with the help of the council and the city employees to make sure we, you know, continue to move forward.
And, you know, to kind of tie in, but Randolph Street's coming along pretty good. I know that's a little pain in the neck a little bit, not terrible, but it's coming along pretty well.
I think they're on schedule. They said about 30 days, you know, weather permitting. And, you know, we had a little bit of a small change order, but nothing. You always have change orders in these types of projects. But, you know, what the nice thing about that is the initial estimate on that project was in the $1.2, $1.3 million range. And it's going to come in, as we think right now, around $700,000. So,
how does that happen?
Yeah. It's usually just the opposite, right? But and that, again, when that's done, you know, that's a very busy road that gets a lot of traffic. And so hopefully that's the first part of what we can do on a phased approach. And, you know, again, we've talked about the bottom of Randolph. You know, when you get down the hill close to the city garage, you know, that's a longer term plan just because of the water lines and things under there. But, you know, the traffic count in Randolph is substantial. And so we got to make sure that road's in as good of condition. And again, I applaud James and all his guys. They, you know, got street, you know, hats off to the streets crew, especially this time of the year. You know, they're out battling lots of things, a lot of which is the heat. Right. So, you know, again, thanks to them and their team for all that they do to keep our streets as good a shape as they can.
All right. Well, very good. That'll wrap us up for this week. We'll touch on a few more subjects coming up next week.